Shall we turn together to Luke's Gospel and chapter 16? We will read together from verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We trust the Lord will bless this very solemn portion of the Word of God to some soul in the meeting tonight. It is with reluctance that we take up a portion like this in the Gospel. We must be faithful to the Word of God, and yet I love to preach the Gospel, to preach of God's grace, to tell of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the infinite value of the sacrifice, and to sound out the invitation to the whosoever will to come. But when I come to my New Testament, I find that the great preachers of the New Testament, they preached of judgment to come. The Lord Jesus Christ, who spake with a compassion for the hearts, for the souls of men, as few and or any could possibly do, and yet he warns of coming judgment. The Apostle Paul, as he preached, yonder in the Acts of the Apostles we read, as he declared the message of the Gospel to Felix, he preached unto him of judgment to come. And it is upon my heart this evening to sound a note of warning to those who would linger in their sins. When I come to Luke's Gospel, in chapter 12, I read of a rich man, and he was suddenly cut down. He was making plans for years ahead that he would never enjoy. He was accumulating wealth that he would never be able to use. And God said, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. In that story we learn the solemn lesson of the brevity of time, of the uncertainty of life, and of the sureness of death. When I come to chapter 18, I read of another rich man. And the lesson that we discover from that portion is this: the emptiness of religion to give a man power and to give a man life. When I come to chapter 19, I read of another rich man. And this dear man, he came to know the Savior, came to know his sins forgiven. Yonder, just outside the city of Jericho, that dear man Zacchaeus, though despised in the community, in repentance he came to Christ, and he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ that day, not only into his home, but into his heart, and into his life. And that dear man's life was changed, completely transformed. But when I read of this dear man, I am reminded of the dreadfulness, the awfulness of an eternity that lies before the Christ rejecter. Here was a man, and he lived upon this world just as you and I are living in this generation. He went about his business. It would seem that he was very prosperous. It would seem that he was very honorable in the community. Possibly if you had talked to his neighbors, you would have found that they considered him to be a real gentleman. A man who had done well for himself. He had got on well in the world. He fared sumptuously every day. But this man, he left God out of his life. And in spite of the fact that he had Moses and the prophets, for I would take it of his five brethren had Moses and the prophets, so did he. And in spite of the fact that he had Moses and the prophets, yet he seemed to pay little attention to the law of God and God's demands upon him. You know, God has placed you and I and every individual upon this world. He has given us life. He has given us an existence. He has given us blessings in this present generation beyond our fathers and our grandfathers. And he holds us verily responsible, each one as an individual, as to how we behave, as to how we handle what God has given us. That is brought out very clearly in the parable of the talents, where God gave to some more than others. But those who received more than others were the more responsible. And here is a man, and I believe that God had endowed him with ability and given him much of this world's goods, entrusted him with much of material wealth. And yet, if he had obeyed the law, if he had loved his neighbor as himself, if he had even made an attempt to fulfill the law, he would have considered the dear man who lay at his gate full of sores. And yet the word of God tells us that he died and he was buried. The poor man that lay at the gate, the end of his life came also. My Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. So often death comes the way of those you would least expect. Some who are in health and in strength, and who, looking upon them, you would imagine that they have many years before them. And yet suddenly they are cut down. I want to tell you, my friend, whether we enjoy health or otherwise this evening, there's a day coming and you and I will have to leave this scene. We will have to say goodbye to earth, and we will part with everything that is dear to us upon this world. Loved ones and friends, relatives, everything that we might prize, we will have to part with it. The only thing that matters then, dear friend, is my soul right for eternity? Am I saved? Do I know Christ as my Savior? Oh, think of this dear man, this poor beggar, with the situation in which he is found, in all his need, with little of this world's goods, and no prospect so far as earth was concerned. There wasn't any hope of this dear man ever accumulating material wealth and making himself comfortable. He hadn't the physical ability to work as others would have done. And here he is found at the rich man's gate, full of sores. But the day came when he was delivered, when he was released from that body of affliction. And I take it he was a man of faith. He was one who had put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. He could have said, just like the poor woman yonder in the city of London, whom Dr. Schofield found, and when he saw her in her need, he pitied her condition. But this is what she was heard to say: with nothing of this world's goods, and very, very little of earthly comfort, she said, I have Christ. What want I more? I tell you, friend, the person who has got Christ has got everything. There are those in this world, and they seem to have got on well. They seem to have done well. But if they haven't got Christ, they have got nothing. And the moment came when the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Oh, what a release! I suggest that this was the greatest experience that this dear believer had in his Christian pathway. What a moment to be released from all his affliction and his poverty and his need, and to find himself in a moment of time in the presence of the patriarchs. Oh, dear friend, I want to tell you, it must have been tremendous. His sorrow and his trouble and everything that might have concerned him on earth was past forever. You know, that is the prospect of every believer in this meeting tonight. One of these days, whether the Lord comes and calls us into his presence, or if death should overtake us, it will be absent from the body and at home with the Lord. It will be to be with Christ, which is very far better. I tell you, friend, there is nothing to compare with this. Oh, the glory that lies in store for those who are saved. If I wasn't saved tonight, I'll tell you, I wouldn't rest until I had the matter settled. To think of the prospect of being with Christ, of being like Christ, of sharing in his glory throughout the ages of the ages to come, of enjoying a position in that coming kingdom, that is the prospect of every true believer. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, to a place of rest, to a place of comfort, to a place of joy and happiness. Why? Because his faith was in the right person. His faith was in Christ alone, for neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And whether it was those of the Old Testament times or those of the New Testament times, they were all saved on the same ground, on by faith alone. Read Hebrews chapter 11. By faith Abraham, by faith Abel, by faith Noah, by faith Moses. And those great men have gone to their reward. Why? Because that they had accomplished great works for God? No. Because their faith was in the right person. And we thank God for everyone in the company this evening who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, whose faith and trust is in Christ and in Christ alone. But oh, how sad to think that some might be like this other man who lived upon this world and he died. He was buried. No mention of the beggar being buried. No doubt he would have been, but there was no mention of it. Very likely, so far as the rich man was concerned, he had a tremendous funeral. They probably said all sorts of nice things as they committed his body to Mother Earth. But let me tell you, friend, the Bible says he was in hell. In hell. I tell you, that is solemn. Solemn to think that someone in this meeting tonight might find themselves one day in that very same position, in torment. And why? Because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh, Abraham reminds this dear man, son, remember. Remember thou in thy lifetime. And I want to tell you, dear friend, if you die without Christ, if you die in your sins, if you go down to that awful place of torment, if you join the rich man in hell, you will remember. Remember this gospel meeting. Remember the gospel preachers who warned you of coming judgment and who sought to tell you of the way of salvation and a way of escaping the judgment of God. You will remember a father's prayers. You will remember a mother's tears. You will remember, for some, a Sunday school teacher who faithfully sought to set before you the way of salvation. Oh, dear friend, oh, the memory that will haunt some who have known God's way of salvation. And to realize that I could have been saved. I could have had my sins forgiven. I should have been right with God. Maybe to go back to one night in conference hall when the Spirit of God was moving. When you realized your need. When you understood your condition. When you knew very well that you should make a choice for Christ. But what kept you back? Afraid to face your companions. Afraid to tell the workmates in the morning that you were saved. Is the cost too great, friend? I tell you, your soul is at stake, and it will be a greater loss if you miss God's salvation and lose your soul. To lose your wealth is much. To lose your health is more. To lose your soul is such a loss that nothing can restore. My dear friend, I want to tell you as I stand before you this evening, my soul is moved as I look down from the platform and realize some in the company not saved, some in the company on the Broadway, some in the company in danger of hell and the lake of fire, in danger of eternal torment. And remember, once you cross the boundary line into God's great eternity, Abraham said there's a great gulf fixed. A great gulf fixed. There will be no changing destinies then, friend. There will be no altering your position then, dear friend. And we must realize that this dear man finds himself in the place where prayers are not answered. Where his cries are no longer granted. Where, my friend, he does not receive as much as a drop of cold water to cool his tongue. How dreadful to think that someone might miss God's salvation and find themselves, when life's little journey is over, beyond the reach of mercy. Dear friend, is it any wonder that we plead with you in earnest and in sympathetic tones this evening to turn from your sin and receive Christ as your Savior? Remember, you are far more highly privileged than ever this man was. Far more highly privileged than those five men, his five brethren were. They had Moses and the prophets, and God held them verily responsible. And yet here we are today with a complete Bible, with the Gospels, with the lovely invitations that we find in these lovely Gospels. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You have known those words possibly from earliest years, and still you haven't responded to the invitation. And you know the truth of the gospel so well that you could probably preach it better than the one on the platform. Still, you're not saved. And to think that you will remember from the depths of eternal despair that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I tell you, friend, it will break your very heart when it's too late. When it's too late, there will be no salvation then. No gospel preached then. No invitation given then. The door will have closed and it will be too late. But oh, thank God, it's not too late tonight. It's not too late tonight. Remember, we cannot promise you salvation tomorrow night. My brother has announced a meeting for tomorrow night and Lord's Day in the will of the Lord. But there is no guarantee that we will be here to preach the gospel. The Lord is coming. The door of mercy is closing. And very shortly, the invitation in the gospel will no more go forth. I implore of you this evening, my friend, in repentance, turn from your sin and avail yourself of the provision which God has made in the person of His beloved Son. Oh, thank God, the door stands wide open this evening, and the invitation still goes forth, come unto me. Come just as you are. Come with all your sin. Come, my friend, by faith this evening, and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, I don't understand it. Listen, John says, believe. And whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Apostle Peter says, obey. Isaiah the prophet, he says, trust. And again he tells us to look. Look by faith to the man on the middle cross. And John again says, to as many as receive Him. It all means the same thing, friend. It simply means that you come in all your need, acknowledging yourself a sinner before God, and like that poor publican of old, smiting upon his breast, his cry was, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And dear friend, all you have to do is receive Christ. All you have to do is accept Him. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is trust Him. All you need to do is rest on the promise of God. And the promise of God is, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Why, a child could understand it. The simplest one in the meeting could understand it, dear friend. God brings salvation right within your reach. And you can know with certainty that your sins are forgiven, that your soul is saved, that all is well for eternity. And know with an absolute assurance that you'll never be in hell. Oh, I thank God the night I was saved. I could have said with the poet, the torment and the fire mine eyes shall never see. I dropped upon my knees and I gave God thanks for giving His Son. And my heart rejoiced that my sins were forgiven, that my soul was saved, and that I'd never be in the depths of hell. Friend, why not trust Christ and trust Him now?